here in just a little bit. But remember, Jesus has come out of the grave after 3 days and three nights. He's been with the disciples off and on for 40 days. And the Bible tells us that he leads the disciples, there's 500 of them, as far as the Bethany, the Mount of Olives there outside of Bethany. And the remaining disciples, which at the time there are 11, remember Judas had committed suicide after that he had betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And they're interested in asking some questions. They want to know, first of all, God, when are you going to, or Jesus, when is God going to restore the authority of the nation of Israel? When are you going to loose us from the chains of bondage that we're under with Rome? When are you going to make us the head and not the tail? When are we going to lead the world rather than the forces of evil that are now in charge of everything? But remember what Jesus told them. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons that God has put in his own hands. But he said, go to Jerusalem and tarry there until ye be endued with power from upon high. And remember, after he has said that, he now is ascending into heaven upon a cloud. The disciples are looking up, watching him go, until they notice that there are a couple of angels, and they speak to these disciples and say, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here looking up into the heavens? For this same Jesus is coming again like he went away. In other words, Jesus is going to return in a power, in authority, and he's going to return to the clouds or by the clouds to receive the church at the rapture of the church. Can you say amen? But remember what Jesus told his disciples. You tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from upon high. Remember Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. There fell upon them cloven tongues as of fire, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. What was it, Brother Rick? It was the power of the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus told them would come. Now, they were laughed at. They were mocked because their actions become so irrational to many people. Remember, it's around the Feast of Pentecost. There are probably 500,000, maybe 1 million individuals that are in Jerusalem that have come to worship, come to the temple, come to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And when they begin to hear all of these magnificent words from these Galileans that did not know how to speak in the worldly languages, but yet no matter what part of the world they had come from, they heard them talk about the mighty wonders of God. When they saw their behavior, they were like they were drunk men, and they began to mock them, saying, these are drunk with new wine. But remember what Peter said, these are not drunk with new wine as ye suppose, seeing but it is just the third hour in the day of the day. In other words, it's about 9 a.m. It's too early to get drunk. It's too early to hit the bars. It's too early to get all of the things that the world tries to push on you. He said, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And I want to remind you that Joel in the second chapter says that I've given you the rain and the former rain moderately, but he talks about a latter rain. 2,000 years ago when the Holy Ghost came, when the disciples were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it was the rain. But friend, I have full expectancy that the latter rain is about to fall. I wish somebody would help me. Let me tell you, you may be here bound up. Let me tell you the reason why I don't need alcohol. Let me tell you the reason why I don't need drugs. Let me tell you the reason why I don't need tarot cards. Let me tell you the reason why I don't need a crystal ball. Let me tell you the reason why I don't need somebody telling my fortune. It's because the word Word of God has already told me my fortune. The reason why I don't need alcohol and drugs is because I have something in me that'll make me higher than your cocaine, something that'll take me higher than your marijuana, something that'll take me higher than your Jack Daniels. I don't need anybody telling me about the future, because I have read the back of the book, and I have found that those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to win. But the sorcerers, the whoremongers, the fornicators, and all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. I wish somebody would help me preach tonight. But somewhere, somewhere along the line, the church has lost the power and the authority that God gave it back in Acts the second chapter. And we become formal. Religion has become a formality. Salvation's been just a little dabble do you. The Word of God has just become suggestions if we hit the book at all. But let me tell you, we need to get back to the power of God. Oh, you ain't helping me. I said we need to get back to the power of God. Remember the 12, not only the 12, but the 70 were able to cast out devils. They were able to heal all manners of sicknesses. And listen to me. I know that God has a way and God uses sickness in different forms. But friend, we live way below our privileges, as I've told you before. So let me get us back to where we need to be. The first thing that we need to have is a true relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking to a people that today will trust in church membership. I'm talking to a people today that as long as they go to church on Sunday morning of Easter, as long as they go celebrate Mama on Mother's Day, or if they come to church to watch the Christmas play, they feel like they've done everything that they are obligated to do. But friend, I want you to understand, this is not so much an obligation, it's a privilege. I said it's a privilege. I said it's a privilege because, as I said this morning, I remember how it was, Brother Wendell. Even though I was only 17 years old, I remember how it was to go to bed afraid to go asleep because I was afraid that I would not wake up. I knew that there was a devil's hell that awaited it. Why do you call it devil's hell? Because hell was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil and for his fallen angels. But if you go there, it's because you chose him rather than the ways of Christ. Oh, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke every spirit from hell that would try to torment and try to confuse and try. The Lord rebuketh thee, and the Lord have his way in this day and in this hour. Can you give him glory in this house? Just because you go to a church occasionally, or even if you go to church all the time, even if you have your name written in a church membership book, if you've gone to the water and been baptized, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're in right relationship with Jesus Christ. But the reality of it is, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Nevertheless, if you can bring it up, Brother Jason. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord, or foundation of God, standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth. Elbow your neighbor, not hard. Tell him the Lord knoweth. What does he know? Well, he knows everything. He knows every motivation. He knows why we're here. He knows whether we've come just to make fun or whether we've come out of sincerity. He knows whether we've come just out of a feeling of obligation. He knows if we've come just to see what's going on. He knows if we've come just to see if we can hook up. He knows whether we've come, whether we can just find a way to make a business deal. He knows whether or not we've come just to where we can find a position. He knows whether or not we've come in offense. He knows whether or not we've come out of sincerity. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. How many of His are here tonight? Then He instructs us, if we're His, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know the reason why I'm not trying to find a woman? Number one, I'm too old. Number two, that ain't number one. That's one of the last, I'm too old. Somewhere after that is, I'm married. That's number one. No, that's number two. Number one is that I'm a child of God. And there is a right and there is a wrong. You ain't hearing me and you ain't helping me. There is a right, there is a wrong. Back on January the 9th in 1982, I stood before Brother Lester Carpenter. I stood with those seven men that stood up with me because my wife wanted to have a big wedding in a little church. And I promised her, and I covenanted with her, and I covenanted with God that I would keep myself only unto her, that I would love, that I would cherish her till death did I part, in sickness and in health. But not only her, I made a covenant with God. When I got saved at 17 year old, I also made a covenant with God then. And church, that ought to be enough to keep us faithful because He's the covenant God and He saved our soul, and we ought not be looking around to see if we can hook up with another god of this world. So let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But then Paul looks at the church, or he looks as he writes to Timothy. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We're living in a time where the Bible tells us that we're living in a perilous time, a troublesome time, a dangerous time, a time where people will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We are incontinent. We don't have the ability to contain ourselves. We are intemperate. We don't have the ability to control our emotions and our behaviors. But I'm going to tell you, if you have the power of the Holy Ghost, you have the power. You just may not be using it the way you ought to be. I've done killed some of you, haven't I? But in Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 16, Paul wrote to Titus, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those that are of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not, for filthy money's sake." I want you to understand, you can get people to preach anything you want to hear, but just coming to church and just having a preacher, just listening to an occasional message, is not going to get you to heaven. Young people, some of you went down into that water this morning and I baptized you. Now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do? Some of you young men are just now getting to the place to where you realize girls ain't as yucky as you once thought they were. In fact, some of them are kind of cute. Some of them are going to turn your head. And some of them are not always going to be dressed the way they ought to be dressed. And some of you young boys the same way. And girls, let me tell you, the same thing with you all. And the next thing you're going to want to know, next thing the devil's going to want you to do, and listen, let me talk about these children, not necessarily these children, but you don't know the hell that some of these children are coming out of. They've been exposed to pornography. They've been exposed to molestation. They're in split homes. They're in homes to where there is bisexuality and homosexuality. They're in homes to where they'll listen to everything but God. They're in homes to where they look at the fortune tellers. They look at the astrology. They listen to all of that. Young people, let me tell you, you be faithful to God. You pick you up a Bible, and if you don't have one, we'll make sure you get one, because the devil is a liar, and everything that he tells you in horoscopes and everything that he tells you in tarot cards and everything that he tells you in horoscopes and fortune tellers and all these things, that stuff's of nothing but the devil. It's witchcraft. It's a spirit that'll attach to you. There is a spirit in drug use. There is a spirit in alcoholism, but God wants you to be free. He wants you to walk in freedom. He wants you to walk in anointing. He wants you to walk in the power, because the latter day outpouring upon my sons and your sons and your daughters, I'll pour out my spirit. I'm going to tell you, God has a special anointing for you all. Be faithful to God. You old people, you're at the age to where you can dream dreams. Young men are will see visions. I'm here to tell you, God's getting ready to do something great in the day and the hour that we're living in. I wish somebody would help me preach in this house. But along with that, you're going to be facing demons as well that comes into this house. We better be power-packed enough. They were casting out devils in the early church. You know what? God's not coming back for a church with any less power than what he left here with. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. You see, the reality of it is, many church people don't want stout preaching. But the Bible said, rebuke them sharply, that they, the individuals that's just been rebuked, may be sound in faith. If your preacher's ordaining homosexuals, get out of that church. If your preacher is cussing at every breath, get out of that church. If your preacher is drinking at the bar, get out of that church. If your preacher is listening to all this garbage, this political correctness nonsense, get out of that church and find you one that preaches Christ and him crucified. Rebuke that nonsense. Church, you've got the authority. The word of God never fails. It was true then, it's true now. Go to the 14th verse. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Next verse. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess, and this is where we are today, they profess that they know God. If you're doing all those things while ago that I described, I don't care what you call yourself. Now I understand, listen to me, a baby Christian's going to mess up. But after you've been saved for a while, there's going to be some changes in you. Why? because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But let me say something to you. Well, I'm going to read this scripture and then I'm going to go on with that point. But in works, they profess that they know God, but in their behaviors, they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work, they're reprobate. How many knows what a reprobate is? A reprobate is an individual that has no piercing of conscience, either by their conscience or by the Spirit, and they consider that everything's all right between them and God because they don't have spiritual discernment to know that there is a truth and there is a lie. Romans chapter 1 will tell you that because of these things that God gives them up and God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to talk about three disciples just for a moment. It is the night that Jesus is betrayed. He is betrayed, first of all, by one disciple named Judas, who has sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas walks up to Christ, and as a mark of identification, he kisses Jesus on the cheek and he calls him master. But that is a signal to the soldiers, to the priest, in the darkness of the garden at Gethsemane, that this is the man you want to take. There is another man by the name of Peter. Now, just a few minutes earlier, Jesus said, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of evil men, and all of you are going to forsake me tonight. And Peter said, Lord, though all forsake you, yet I will never forsake you. I'm ready to die for you. And Jesus said, Peter, will you die for me? He said, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter says, I'm never going to deny you. Now, Peter means what he says. How do you know? Because at the moment of time when the soldiers come, Peter has a sword, and he grabs that sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. He is a servant of the high priest. The high priest has been installed by the Roman government. And when Peter did that, he committed a corporal crime that made him eligible for the death penalty. But Jesus took care of the evidence. He picked up the ear, he laid his hand upon Malchus's head, and the ear became attached, and all evidence was gone. And there was a man by the name of John. And John is called John the Beloved. It is this John who laid his head upon Jesus' breast, that when Jesus said, one of you are going to deny me tonight, they were poking John and said, ask him who it is, ask him who it is. His head was on Jesus' chest, and he could hear the heartbeat of the Lord. But what happened that night? Judas betrayed Jesus and died lost because he committed suicide, because he could not live with what he had done. Peter denied the Lord three times and was so overwhelmed with guilt that even though God, or Christ, had called him to become a fisher of men, we find him in just a few verses later that he's gone back to his fishing. And even though John left, just like all the disciples, we find that he's the one, Brother Bill, that will stick closer to Jesus. Even though he had left him for a moment, he come back and he's with Peter there in the courtyard where Peter denied the Lord. John is there. Probably Peter gets in the courtyard because John has a connection with the high priest and he's able to go. John is at the cross close enough for Jesus to talk to him whenever he was dying, and he gave charge of his mother Mary, not to his brothers, but to this John, saying, Mother, behold thy son. son, behold thy mother. And history will tell you that this John took Mary home with him and took care of Mary until she died. John was the oldest living disciple that lived. Even though they tried to kill him, they couldn't kill him. Even though they tried to boil him in oil, he wouldn't boil. Even though they tried to vanquish him to the Isle of Patmos, he said, I was on the Isle of Patmos there because of the testimony of Christ, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord spoke to him and gave him the word to the seven pastors of the seven churches of Asia. And even though the Roman emperor tried to hide him in Patmos, the Spirit of God brought him out of Patmos. And we have the book of Revelation today. What are you trying to say, Brother Rick? Well, Judas had a relationship with Jesus, but it wasn't a good relationship. Some of you are married, but you don't have a good relationship with your wife. Some of you don't even want to go home to your wife or to your husband. You're married, you got the paper. Some of you act like you're married, but you really ain't, because you got Roman eyes. You're looking at every girl in a skirt, thinking bad thoughts in your heart, having lust in your heart. The Bible said time is short. It'll be those that are married as though they're not, those that hath a wife as though they have no wife. We're living in that time, folks. They are reprobate in every good work. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 13, as the musicians begins to come up. They have watched the disciples, Brother Wendell, cast out devils. I believe the church still has power to cast out devils. You ain't hearing me. We better have it. We better have it. There are certain vagabond Jews who are exorcists, who took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Just being religious is not going to give you power and authority that Jesus called for the church to have. Just being a Pentecostal by name, just being a Baptist by name, just being a Methodist by name, just being a Christian, a member of the Christian church by name, is not going to cut it. These were sons of the priest. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. You know the reason why they knew him? He created the angels. He created all the things that have been created, both in heaven, both visible and invisible. And they said, Jesus I know, Paul I know. Paul had already gave them plenty of headaches. But then they looked and said, but who are you? Who are you? Who are we, church? And the man in whom the evil spirit then leaped on him, not on him, but them, and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house both naked and wounded. Christian, let me tell you something. If you're involved in illegal drugs, illicit drugs, let me tell you something. You're dancing with the devil. Because there's an evil spirit that attaches itself to drug use. If you're messing with the stuff that I talked about a while ago, I had an aunt, or a couple of aunts, that used to come down from Ohio, and they would come to Mom and Dad's house, and they would bring this stupid little Ouija board. And they would play with it. Me and my cousins were probably about 9-10 years old. And we would make fun of that. But that board got mad. And it spelled out a message, you get these kids out of here. My aunt really got involved in it. And one day, it began to tell her things of the future. It warned her that her child was strangling to death in the backyard on the swing because a cable was wrapped around its neck. And so it really was. That thing wasn't of God. That thing's demonic. If you play with it, you're inviting the devil into your house. They know Jesus. They know Paul. But when you come to a place to where you need to make a stand, if Jesus is not in here, you have no power to deal with it. You need to quit that nonsense. You need to run to the altar. You need to run to Christ. You need to lay that junk down. And you need to pick up your cross and follow Him. Because I'm here to tell you, we're living in a time to where it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Naked and bruised. Wounded. But I want you to know that even in the midst of that, the world in Ephesus could tell that there was a difference between the believer and the non-believer. And God even used that to bring glory to His name. Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, as you stand, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How many knows that God is able to do more than what we even recognize? But see, the Bible doesn't just stop there. It says, according to the power that worketh in us. If every time you take a breath to speak, you're coming out with profanities, that's not the power of God in you, that's the wicked one. Amen. If every time you look for a movie to watch, you're looking for the movie that has the most nakedness in it, that's not the Spirit of God. That's wickedness. That's the spirit of wickedness. If every time you see something laying there on a table and you have the propensity to where you want to pick it up even though it's not yours and stick it in your pocket, that's not God. God's not a thief. God's not a robber. That's the spirit of wickedness. If every time somebody asks you a question, you find the need to lie about it, that's not Christ. He is the Spirit of truth. But the devil is a liar and the father of it, and he's a murderer. If every time you look at somebody that you've had a disagreement with and you hate them, that's not of God. Love is of God. But whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And if you have all those things going on in your life and more, that's not the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of the devil. And it's a sign that we don't have right relationship with Jesus Christ. If we're going to have the power of God, we better have the right relationship with God. And it's time that we choose who we're going to serve. As for me and my house, I choose the Lord. This altar is open. May God bless you.